our strength gets stronger.
And simulcast with WolfSpiritRadio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. Good afternoon. This is Journeys with JP. Please tell me if I'm on the air. Whoops, what was going on there? Something going on there. I'd like to welcome you all to Journeys. I'm sorry if I was silent. I think I am. Right, I'm back live now. Good. Good. I don't know what's happened there. Something's gone wrong with the input card on this machine. Well, okay. So, such wow. I'm on. I've got an echo. Why have I got? How come I got an echo? How can I have an echo unless I'm on two? No, I'm not. All right. Okay. Such wow. Well, welcome back to Journeys with JP, and as usual, something goes wrong at the beginning of the show. Every time I do a show of any kind, something goes wrong at the beginning, and it's a sort of a continual apology. Sorry, I'm totally useless. It's my first day on the job, and I'm only learning. But anyway, so for some reason, the Skype call didn't work at all, and I was yapping away for 10 minutes. And everybody was saying, we can't hear you. There's no air on Studio B. Or it's dead air. So anyway, so I logged in with another computer. And hopefully this one's working. Let me just check what Dave is saying now. Yes, I'm live. Oh, that's good. Because I thought for a minute that I was dead. So, now, where was I? I was speaking in those minutes of dead air about the process that we're going through in terms of we have a we're in a movie, we're in a hologram, we're in a movie, we're if your life was a book, whereabouts would it be? You know, would you still be in the opening chapters? Would you be in the middle build up of tension? I believe that at this moment we are about 2/3 of the way in. I think it's something to do with the phi ratio. But it's kind of 2/3, or you know the phi number, which is 0.61. I imagine it's about that point where things start to turn around. Things, some pivot hits the floor, everything starts to swing around, and black becomes white, gray becomes blue, everything again turns around, and I believe that's on a grander scale. This is part of the cosmic story that we're in. The story of the denouement could also be the story of a pole shift. Now, we've also heard not 15 minutes ago that the sun... It was a few days ago. Sean was talking about it last week when I was on the show with him. He was saying that the sun's magnetic pole and the sun... the Earth's magnetic pole and the magnetic north... are shifting, and when the two meet, there's a potential for a pole flip. It might not go all the way. It might not go, 180 degrees. It might go sort of 76 degrees, or 215, a random number of degrees. It may move. So there's a sense that things are about to turn around. putting together lots and lots of stories, the history that we've been denied is starting to come out. We're getting the traditional histories coming back from the Native Americans, and we're starting to re-decode the cuneiform from Sumeria, which it seems to be nothing like what they said it was. We're seeing hieroglyphs turning up in Australia, preceding Egyptian hieroglyphs. Lots of things seem to be turning round, like a big cosmic play. How interesting this is. Now, oh yeah, by the way, I did offer at the beginning, so I was going to say, you know, the reason I'm going to give this kind of monologue for a while is I'd like people to call in. I'd like to talk to some people, see how you're getting on, what's going on for you. Have you had any strange experiences last few days, last few weeks? Have things changed in your perception? Have you gained in wisdom? Have you found new ways of looking at situations that has managed to defuse the situations? Have you had an experience where you've tried something that you normally do the same thing and get the same result? You tried something new this time and it worked. Do call in. Call in on this number. The number would be 310 area code 414053, or you can also connect on 775-657-5973. If you have Skype, you can also call through on wolfspirit.switchboard, which is forwarded to my Skype here. I'm calling in. Well. It's very good to be here. Now, what's this? I just saw something about my name here. So, what's this? I have 123 mile an hour winds registered in Perthshire, Inverness. All right. Well, Perthshire is quite away from Inverness. It's about 2 hours drive on the other side of the mountains. But it has been pretty windy. I don't know if you can hear in the background. You probably can't, but I have a stove here, and when the wind blows across the chimney top, you hear this kind of whistling sound as the air intake is venturing. So it has an effect in here, but it's really, really, I tell you, I am so hot. I'm almost perspiring here in the middle of the Scottish December. So it's very, very cozy. In my little cottage, a stone cottage. Thank you. I have a little spirit. Thank you very much, Dave. So yeah, big shout out to Dave Corso and indeed to Mike. I hope you're feeling a bit better after your recent bout of illness. I think, you know, I've been speaking to lots of people. I want to talk to more people and hear what their experience of the last few days has been. Because for me, it's been almost overwhelming. Everything has been overwhelming. In fact, the feeling that I've had this feeling in my stomach, like I've had too much to eat. I've had it for like 3 days. And it's crazy because, you know, I like the odd snack. That's what I'm like Winnie the Pooh or Homer Simpson, you know, that sort of mindset. Anyway, so it's been really odd for me because I don't normally not eat, and I felt full. I felt not like eating. And then when I did feel like eating, it was like, oh, I'll have a piece of lettuce or a piece of cucumber, that looks nice. And just like I've been eating like a 9-stone 20-year-old, you know, like a secretary who survives on one piece of lettuce a day. So it's been very, very odd. I haven't lost any weight, I don't think. but it started to wear off. I don't know if it was a bug, but I got a similar thing about 6 months ago in April. Is that 6 months? No, it's more than 6 months now, isn't it? About eight months back in April. I had a similar thing about food. So has anybody been experiencing any kind of stomach issues, like, you know, reflux, nerves? Has anyone discovered a greater sensitivity in that in the last week? Now, this is where the seat of the emotions are. And, you know, I certainly know that I have been, I'm someone who's been eating comfort food for a long time. And this is part of the journey, is to get back to what is it that you're eating to comfort you against. You know, why do you need comfort? What's uncomfortable? So being discomfortable, fake name Jim Murray. All right. Okay. Well, very good. thank you, Dave. Right. So comfort food has been a large area of my life, and probably, you know, for a lot of us, it's quite a thing that we have to deal with all the time, you know. A sense of discomfort, of unease, that tends to manifest in the stomach area, solar plexus area. So it feels like you're hungry. yes, it's rectifier, yeah. So have I got a good seam here, talking about comfort food? Yeah, absolutely. Had unusual stomach issues. Ah, right. So yes. Yeah, so there is a bit of coherence there. So it's for me. It happened, I suppose, from about Wednesday, last Wednesday to the last couple of days, and it's kind of worn off now. I had a meal tonight, although I have to say, I think my stomach shrunk a bit, and I'm not able to eat so much. So I do feel full again, having eaten a relatively normal sized meal. It's hot. It's hot in here as well. So yes, eating a regular sized meal has just been too well. When I say a regular sized meal, regular size is much smaller than used to be now, since the April event, that I had the same sort of thing. So I'm feeling this is like, it's like a pressure from the inside outwards. Well, rectify saying, you know, it's the sun, and I'm not disagreeing with you. I think that we can be affected by things that are coming from the sun that haven't been measured yet, that we have no scale for, that we have no detector for, except that our bodies are detectors for it. Sleep disturbances, yes. Desire to eat more savory food, yes. Salty food. Actually, the other day I went to Lidl's, which is a really, you know, it's local cheap German food. Therapist went swimming out. I bought a massive jar of pickled olives and of pickled gherkins. So yeah, I'm feeling this need for salty and vinegary and savoury. Yes. Yeah. So this is rectified saying God is prepping your stomach for THTF. The staff hitting the fan. Yeah. And indeed, it is very clarifying. I was talking with Katie Galanti, who's all, you know, a psychic reader, and she says, that this last few days has really helped to clear her mind. And certainly I've felt, a lot more clearer, in certain areas of perception and thinking. I still get headaches though. Actually, the drummer from my band has had a headache for the last month, and I don't know if he's he's going to explode, or he's just got a blocked nerve somewhere or blocked leg. But anyway, so yes, chocolate. Now here's the thing: I am still eating as much chocolate as I used to. That's the only thing that hasn't changed. Maybe I should. But, you know, in April I got a similar thing, but I thought I had food poisoning. But it was a very similar sort of, very stomach aware, and also very aware of emotional blockage issues. And this is where I want to move to, because this is what the whole thing's about. You know, the stomach area is all about emotions. There are emotions and feelings. They're different things. When I'm talking about an emotion, I'm talking about something that makes you do something. Energy, emotion. So, an emotion is like anger, which gives you the energy that allows you to shift an object out of your way or move around an object that is blocking your way. So it's to get things out of your way. Richard has been drinking peppered vinegar East Carolina barbecue sauce. Well, just on its own. Oh, wow. Yeah. And, yeah, this is true. I mean, excellent. I'm really pleased that people are giving this feedback here in the Rev chat. And, if anybody who's simulcasting, check this out, because I'm really interested in what's going on. Just do it, saying, I've been much more sensitive to what I've been consuming, just my body honing in on what it needs and what it doesn't. Absolutely. You know, like I said, in April I got this other burst, and, you know, that's when I was told by this inner voice that said, you know, stop eating death. Basically it was the way I interpret that is that stop eating the product of the death industry, which is, you know, the death industry goes all the way from the cattle industry all the way to arms and you know, war industry, and it's all part of the same thing from beginning to end. And so by stepping out of that, by moving into more of a agrarian, more vegetarian sort of lifestyle, and maybe even vegan, I don't know. Cheese is going to be a big obstacle. Although I used to think that meat was going to be a big obstacle, but one day I just stopped. It's a bit like one of these people, you know, people that give up cigarettes, but they just decide, you know, okay, I'm going to give up cigarettes, and they stop smoking cigarettes, and they just don't. They don't have any withdrawal or anything like that. No drama. That's it. So, this last week, it's been a very interesting time, you know, because I've not been eating, and I'm getting very clear, and I have to say that, you know, today I thought, oh, I don't feel weird anymore, so I cooked myself a few baked potatoes and made a little sauce. So I'm now very full again. So, but I'm very aware, very tuned in. So if anybody wants to call in for a Ray reading, I'm very happy to do so. Do call in, and I'll give you the number once again. It's 310-421-4053. That's 410-4053, area code 310. That dials you into Studio B, which will come into this phone call, and we'll see what happens if anybody would like to join us. So what about baby carrots? I don't know if that's connected with ours. Meanwhile, so we've been sensing this uprising, this upwelling, this feeling a building up of pressure, a building up of tension. And at the same time, there's a building up of pressure on the outside. And it's really like when you go down in a submarine. That's interesting. I was watching a program that involved a submarine diving down today. In order for a submarine to survive, it's only thin steel, you know. So it has to pressurize its walls in order to push against the pressure that's on the outside. And, you know, there will be a time when it just goes, you know, and is crushed. But it feels like we're entering some kind of higher pressure zone. And like when you're in a submarine, you have to go down very slowly, you pressurize slowly. And indeed, when you come back up, you have to come back up even slower, because it takes a while for your body to depressurize. And so it feels like we're either pressurizing or depressurizing. And that our internal pressure has to adjust. And if you're in a high pressure zone, we have pressure that pushes on the, pushes outwards, that equals the pressure that's pushing inwards. If this was in a balloon, the balloon would shrink otherwise. So, you know, you have to increase the pressure on the inside to match the size and keep the thing running at the same time. So, like us, we have to keep the internal pressure going. So, what is the internal pressure? It's our spirit, our soul energy, which comes through the heart center. Oh, how do you contact B through Skype? Freedom Screen. Actually, I don't know how to, somebody might have to tell, but you can call in, wolfspirit.switchboard as well. So yes, crazies, yeah, headaches, broken into tiny pieces, crown of a head pop off, yeah, headaches, alright, so angry, yes, there's Bright Eyes, I got so angry and for the first time in my life, felt like my head was going to explode. Stomach feels queasy too, and rarely have upset stomach. Yes, this is exactly what I'm talking about. I don't think it's a bug. I don't think it's chemtrails. I don't think it's the cabal. I think this is part of a natural process. Nobody told us about this. This is a surprise one, you know. And it's a cleansing. It really feels like what it feels like to me is like. We're washing out with a high pressure jet all that kind of congealed jelly-like substance that is our emotionals, our emotional attachments. And we're finding out what we're emotionally attached to in a good way and in a bad way. Things that make you angry, things that make you sad, things that make you feel abandoned. Deep trauma has been coming up. That I've been speaking with people almost day in and day out for the last couple of weeks. People are coming up and the symptoms that their trauma has produced have come to a head. So there are people with kidney issues and they've got this enormous amount of built up anger. There are people with back issues that have got an enormous amount of feelings of unsupportedness, money issues. What's holding you up? What's supporting you? Are you supporting yourself? I was just gonna check these. Yes, that's right. So, alright, yes. Another one, Colleen. Start to talk and the words just don't come. Alright, you should try being a radio presenter and experiencing that. Yeah. There have been times when I just haven't been to... I suffer from this a lot. apparently it's in my star chart, that sometimes I can't actually directly think of a word. And people think that I'm being, but it's not. It's just because I can't think of the word that I'm trying to express. So I kind of work around in this kind of babbly, blustery sort of way, work around the idea of what I'm trying to do and try and skirt around to see if I can approach it from a different position and try and get to the word. It's a very bizarre sort of little thing. Yeah. And the word thing came and went at times. Yes. Yeah, so all of these things seem to be part of the situation that we find ourselves in. Part of the process that we're going through. Part of the movie that we're involved in. We're all in the movie. Shall I talk about it? Yeah, alright. Okay, so, a lot of, you've heard about all of these starships that are, and motherships and biospheres and all those things that are parked around the Earth and nobody can see them because they're in another dimension. Anyway, one of the things that they do, it appears, when they're bored, which is a lot, because they've been here a long time, one of the things they do, you know Big Brother, you know this TV series where you have people in a house and you watch them and, it's really boring. It's a real, if you're what they call a bean counter, somebody who likes, to see tiny details of things. Anyway, it seemed that the human race is like an enormous TV reality show for the ET races who are parked around the Earth in various places. And they like to keep up with us. So, if you've ever had this feeling that your life is like somebody's comedy show, somebody's laughing at you, somewhere, you might not actually be so paranoid. It might actually be maybe some of your space family, your elder family just checking up on what you're doing, but, just watching what's going on. So, well, oh dear, what's all this? Oh yes. I'm just having a quick look at all this. Yeah, so there are people, oh, the anger bleeped. Obviously, that sort of words, all the bad words are still reachable, so yeah. it's like default words that go in place of things. I know that there are many people in the area that I live in use the F word as punctuation and the, so we are going through an area of space that is affecting us. It's cyclic, and I think this is part of what is called the ascension process. Now, why do we feel so bad if it was going to be so good? Well, we need to purge, and we need to purge all of the trauma. And so what's going to happen is that you're going to experience the traumas that you experienced when you were a child. And those, like, now for many people, they've been experiencing disappointments. Disappointments in love, disappointments in work, disappointments, bad investments, all that sort of stuff. But what I found in my counseling practices over the years, of beings dead and alive, is that with every disappointment, there's always an expectation. And every disappointment is a disillusionment. And I use that word very specifically. It disillusions. It removes illusions from you. And so it's a good thing. Oh, something just arrived. Hello, Michelle. Very good. Thank you very much, Dave. What's all this? A caller for me. Right, okay, so I have to add that caller to the contacts. There we go. Yes. There we go. And there she can call me now. You can call me Michelle Schreck. Yes, well, anyway, this will, we'll come along with her in a minute, hopefully. So, we're experiencing pressure from the outside, but there also seems to be a pressure that from that seems to be coming from the outside, but also from the inside. It's a bizarre thing. It's like it's coming from another part, from another place that is sort of outside, but not outside of us. It's kind of inside, but not. Oh, I don't know how to explain this. It's another dimension. It's what they say the sun is a plasma generator, and the energy for it comes from another dimension, and so it's a dimensional portal. They also say that there's a plasma spark in our heart, and I believe that right now this plasma spark is being stimulated to become brighter, to become bigger and brighter. Eventually, I believe, we're not going to need to eat. Because I think these periods that we've just experienced, once we start to get used to this energy, that this is a burst of energy that we're getting, that, you know, there's nothing wrong with us. It's not that we're hungry, right? Now I'm going to bring, I don't know, see I'm on an old version of Skype, which might be very difficult to get somebody into this call. It's going to take, yeah, no, I've always had this problem with this version of Skype, that it will hold the call, that's what we don't want to happen. We need to create a conference call. Invite to conference. There we go. There we are.
Because I think we...
Right, Michelle, if you could turn off your radio, please.
Okay, just 1 second.
I hear my voice droning.
Okay, I've switched it off. Sorry about that.
That's okay. Hello, hello. How are you doing?
Hello, I'm good. How are you? I'm actually in the chat room, and I'm just do it, and I added some comments earlier on when you were introducing your topic, and just in regards to what you're saying, I think absolutely. I've noticed my body is doing some really strange things at the moment in terms of food and you know the way it's processing food, if I can put it that way, and yeah, and all sorts of things, and I notice that the way that I'm picking up on other people is very different as well. I'm a little more sensitive and a lot less I seem to be able to see through things quite clearly. So if somebody's around me and they're you know, they've always been the way that they've been, but at the moment I can really see them quite starkly for who they are and the kind of energy that they're bringing to the situation.
Now that sounds to me, that's the term that I use, discernment. This feeling, because it's a feeling, and it's a feeling like, oh, I feel very comfortable around this person, or oh, no, I really don't feel like opening up to this person right now. Mm-hmm. And these are feelings that we really, more and more, we need to rely on, because they are going to keep you alive. The world is full of sharks, and it's like an eternal shark detector. And it's really strong at the moment, isn't it?
I agree, 100%, 100%, yeah. However, saying all of that, I sort of also am going through, I've been going through a process for a long time, but where I'm at the moment is almost not so much, excuse you.
I thought I was muted. Oh dear, what a show. This is when it's going to... I started off, you know, I started off tonight.
That was a technical difficulty with your body.
Exactly. Like, oh, sorry. I was just, that was my gut reaction. Anyway, so.
I hope that was a good guy. Not a bad one. sorry. I still do laugh at farting and burping, I have to say.
Everybody. Do you know, they've done surveys in the world of all these different racial groups and different ethnic groups, and everybody in the world laughs at farts. Everybody.
That's good to know. We can
it's
all
very good
at
to know.
On
it's
that.
Very reassuring that there's nothing wrong with you if you laugh at a fart, because it's like 96% of the human race will laugh at a fart. Maybe it's a way of telling if somebody's human.
That's right.
There's a good thing. You know. Oh, everybody goes, oh, look, there's an alien.
I've completely lost my train of thought now.
We were talking about stomach reactions and body reactions and the sense of discernment.
Yeah, look, I think, sorry, all my phones are going off now too. I sort of don't seem to be as worried so much about being drawn into things, or if somebody says something that I don't agree with or I find offensive, even it could be even, you know, quite an extreme, I don't feel the need to be drawn into that. I just sort of, it's like I've, you know, it's quite weird. It's, you know, I'm not feeling as emotionally pulled, if I could say it that way. But I do notice that people around me at the moment are more angry than normal. They're more sort of emotionally up and down than normal. There does seem to be a little bit of a dis-ease or something going on at the moment, where I think everyone's coping in their own way with whatever's happening, whatever the shift that's going on. Or and some people, I see, absorbing it and taking it on board and you know, going internal and listening to their bodies and things like that. And some people are completely sort of being off put by it because their normal coping strategies aren't working. And that might be to drink excessive alcohol or to, you know, to be blaming other people or whatever it might be. But these things just aren't working for people anymore. The usual way of coping with life is just not happening. And that's been my sense anyway, as I've observed people and the last little while. It's been really nice, actually. It's been great.
You know, you're right that there's been it's like your sense, right? I'm trying to wind back all the things you just said, because you said so many interesting points. The first thing is, I would describe it as people are being polar. They're going to the extreme polarity. You know, if they're good, they're really good. If they're bad, they become really bad. And even good people are walking around ranting and swearing at people and cussing out, you know. There's, you know, you're hearing stories about vicars cussing out and stuff, and it's like, oh, you know, everybody is really, really, really stressed, and nobody knows where the stress is coming from.
Yeah, I think it's more that people, what I actually feel that it's more about is that we're being sort of challenged to align the outside with the inside. And so what that means is that when you find yourself saying and doing things that you sort of would normally not say and do because you'd keep a lid on it, I think it's about whatever we want to call it, the universe or the energy that's going around at the moment, forcing you to really take stock of what's going on and actually align with how you really feel on the inside with how you express that feeling, whether it be the food that you eat, or whether it be what you say to people, or what you're doing with your life, or whatever it might be. And I think that's, to me, that's what I see. And I've noticed more and more that in my personal conversations with people, the moment something comes out of my mouth, which I know is just not true for me, I instantly feel uncomfortable. I can tell straight away. And the other person's picking up on that as well. And it's kind of like, you know, and that's what I was saying about the food. I think it's really my body's just sort of giving me an instant response or an instant feedback about this is not good for you. Like, your body doesn't like this. Even if it might be a healthy food, your body doesn't like this. And so it's that truth, finding your own truth. I think that's really what that's about. So people who are ranting and things like that, it's kind of like, you know, that it's kind of like the dark side of you having to come out into the light and be recognized so that you can sort of heal it and then bring it back into wholeness with yourself, and understand where it's coming from and all of that kind of thing so that you can make peace with an acceptance of who you are, and then being able to express that. And when you're not expressing that, you get upset, you get angry, you do flail, and sometimes it's good to do that because it's an appropriate situation, but sometimes, more often than not, it's something about you that you need to work on. And I'll just make one last point. My daughter and I, she's 17, and she is definitely, the dynamic between us is definitely like that. She instantly now, when we talk to each other, we know she can pinpoint it instantly when it's my crap that's coming up and she won't take it, or if it's something that I'm genuinely saying that actually is relevant and applies, she'll take it on board immediately, no questions asked. It's kind of like she can see through, she's got this filter that's automatic as well. It's like truth again coming through. And I can't, I can't argue with that. It's just a feeling. It's an instant feeling. And I can't argue with that except to say, you're right, I apologize, and think about what I've just said, what I've just done, and why I need to have an argument or whatever it might be. Yeah. So it's definitely been it's an interesting time at the moment. Hello. Hello.
Yeah, do you hear me now?
I can hear you now, yeah.
Oh, gosh, what the heck's going on here? Anyway, to fix this mixer up.
So was I just talking into the void?
No, you were talking all right. It was me talking into
the
void. Oh, okay. I was just everything was working this afternoon, and suddenly it's not working anymore. So I don't know. Anyway, but what I was going to say is that it feels very, when somebody is talking to you and they're not authentic, they're not speaking from the heart, it sounds like they're cardboard. Then it feels like they're just like not real, you know, like a cardboard cutout. They're not three-dimensional, and it feels awkward and uncomfortable. And yet when people speak from the heart and speak truth, then it comes through and I can pay attention and listen. But I find if somebody's not talking from that space, I just become completely disinterested. And that's probably the sense that, you know, this is that same sense that your daughter's experiencing. And I think this is the new normal. We will have this. This is the beginning. You know, we're starting to understand what is discernment. This is discernment. Yeah. A sense of discomfort. When lies are being told, you can actually feel it. There's no longer it's like, is he telling the truth or not? I mean, because such and such, you can know it's a direct experience. A gnosis. Yeah. A gnosis, Mr. Bob. So, do you want to stick with me over the next period of time? We're going to take a break in a second. The guitar will be coming up. But, I'd like to continue this if that's all right with you.
Okay, sure.
Good. So, we'll be back in just a few minutes when the little guitar tune comes along. Remember to, support Revolution Radio and Wolf Spirit Radio, as Well, it's very expensive to do this kind of thing, and if you chip into the archives, which is, you know, it costs a lot of money to hold 3 years worth of archives, so Dave is an army veteran, and he survives with his dogs and his wolves and his horses and his people on his pension. So do click the donate button on the Wall Street Radio, and do click the site support area in Revolution Radio, and buy some t-shirts or buy some seeds. Seeds is a really good thing to buy, you know, it's like very, very good investment. Best investment, better than silver, better than gold. See you in a few minutes. This is Journeys with JP on Revolution. 100% listener supported, organic, homegrown talk radio. Here we are. You no need to expect us. We've already been here. So we are, hopefully, or I am, speaking with Michelle. Are you still there, Michelle?
I'm still here.
And whereabouts are you speaking from? Is that an Antipodean accent?
If by that you mean Australian, yes it is.
Strine. You're speaking Strine.
I'm speaking Strine, mate. Yeah, no, I'm calling from Australia, yeah. In New South Wales.
Awesome, awesome. I have I have cousins in Rose Bay, apparently.
Okay.
Sydney. Very posh place, apparently.
It is. But lovely, really. It's very nice. It's a nice spot right on the water.
Excellent, excellent. So, yeah, so you're feeling it even on the other side of this planet. So it can't be local. It can't be, well, it might be HAARP. I don't know. But I don't think HAARP is here to make us healed. This feels like a healing movement. What do you feel about it? Do you feel that this is like an attack, or do you feel that this is an
attack? God, no.
No. Well, you know, there are ways of looking at different. You know, you're agreeing. It's a benign kind of energy.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think to be completely honest with you, I don't really sort of subscribe to sort of any kind of real attack theory, or you know, I'm not really into I'm interested in what people have to say, but I really don't take on board all that sort of thing, the HAARP or anything like that, and no criticism to anybody who does. But for me personally, I find that my life goes better, and I feel better if I don't absorb that kind of thing. I prefer to sort of phrase everything more positively. So for me, this is a helpful thing that's happening. I don't even know how to really describe it, but it's a positive, helpful, evolutionary or revolutionary, maybe even, thing that we're going through. And it's definitely something that, is happening completely locally. And I mean that, like, within the individual themselves. It's kind of like the last frontier is within, really, when you think about it, with everything that we, in inverted commas, know, and all the information that we have flying around and all the technology that we have. Like I said before, I think really the call is actually to go within. This is where the answers lie for us, I think. And that's how I see it. I definitely don't see it as an attack of any kind whatsoever. I see it as a natural process.
It's a very interesting, you know, and you're kind of mirroring and echoing much of what I've been talking about in the last couple of weeks, because, you know, on my shows, I have a chance. It's a bit like a verbal diary, not verbal diarrhea, but a verbal diary.
almost.
Well, yeah, it has to be. I try to keep it, nourishing. It's a process. And it feels like it's being, like there's somebody's inflating a balloon inside of me that is squeezing all out that is not me.
Hmm.
That is, what's the word? Now, when you get a splinter, if it goes really deep, like a piece of shrapnel or something like that. It goes deep, and your body can't actually, you know, you can't kind of get it. It puts it into a capsule. It puts a little, it's like an oyster. It puts a little fat blob around it to stop it being too sharp, so it doesn't stick in the body. And that's what's called encapsulation. And very, very slowly, this capsule is then pushed to the surface, and it becomes a boil, and then eventually a little shard comes out. And I have a friend who's who was service in the Falklands War, and a bomb went off near him, and he got lots of tiny pieces of shrapnel just like this, and describing this process. And like on a psychic level, the same things happen, you know, that we have trauma, and sometimes the trauma is so deep and it's untreated. It's like, it's not been dressed properly, like a wound. It's not been treated properly, and it basically encapsulates it and stores it up for a time later on when it can release it. But what's happening now is that, like I said, it's like a balloon being inflated from the inside and pushing all of these things, instead of just working out naturally, that they're being pushed right out. One of the processes that I was talking about before is this thing about disappointment. And this is like it's really, really common on just about for every human experiences this cycle of things. That you, for instance, you might meet a new partner, a new girlfriend, new boyfriend, new lover or something like that. And there's this great deal of excitement and hope and planning for the future and all of these things. And then, a year, 18 months, 2 years down the line, boom, something happens. And, everything turns around. The denouement. And this person becomes the worst thing. And you realize that, they've just done exactly what you feared that they would, that you didn't want them to do. You know, they've cheated on you, or they've just gambled away, you know, the family money, or this or that. Something that they do, disappointment, splat.
Yeah.
And now most people at that point would then start using that as a manipulation to manipulate other people in their general area to feel sorry for them. Right, it's hijacked and used as self-pity, fuel for self-pity. However, those of us who are on the path, who are on the journey, can realize that that is a direct opportunity to access your trauma. Because that trauma, that feeling, because it's always a feeling, and it's a feeling that's familiar. And what I've been doing with my clients, I've been bringing them back to that place. I say, okay, take that feel. Remember that feeling. It's that flat, disappointed feeling. You felt that before. Yeah. Where have you felt that? Go ahead.
I went to, just this year, I did a, for some reason, I just decided to go and see a counsellor. I really don't know why, except that I felt that I needed to do that. And, nothing was particularly wrong, and perhaps the only thing I could say is that I just was feeling quite way too comfortable, and everything was sort of controlled and comfortable, and that's just not me. I didn't feel right, and I felt that I had done so much work on myself up to that point, but I felt within me there was like a glass kind of ceiling that I'd reached that I couldn't really break through, because I was inside of it, and I realized I needed some help to help me to work out what that was. And so I went for counselor, and again I just chose someone. I don't know how he came to me, but it was just the right thing altogether. And one of the things that he said was that he said, I don't really need to know your life story. All I need to know is, which we can just work with moments, because he said, moments in your life, yesterday, today, tomorrow, they will, it's like drawing blood, you know, I don't need all of your blood, I just need a drop or a vial, and from that we can tell a lot about you. And that's, you know, and that sort of made things very, that really changed my perception of things in terms of, I don't need to really, like, you know, I don't need to sort of try to remember, you know, every detail about my life. But what I can do is when I have that feeling that comes up, or some people call it a trigger, is think about, okay, when did I feel like this before? And very quickly you can access those memories very, very quickly, because the feeling is actually much more salient than the details about the house, the room and what colour sort of thing. But the feeling is, I found, was there instantly. I could access it very quickly. And that was quite a revelation, because having someone there who could just support me through that process, and very quickly, I think I was quite right, but very quickly I was able to, you know, I broke through that glass ceiling very, very quickly. And, you know, I've also got a bit of a trail of, not a long trail, but a little one of disappointing relationships. And, but once I'd actually gone to the counsellor and have gone through this process, I feel those relationships were as they were meant to be. I don't have any resentment, or, you know, and I definitely have stopped beating myself up about why things went wrong, because my instant thing was to, it's my fault, there's something wrong with me, you know. And what I came to realise was that in any given moment, I'm just behaving, responding, you know, based on my past and what I've learnt, what I've absorbed from my environment. And until you sort of stand that, you sort of will, in a sense, be unconscious to all of that and will be a victim. I hate to use that word, but, yeah, you will be sort of a slave to that. So once you sort of start to become...
Whoops, there's Michelle. Hang on, let me just bring her back in. No, I can't do it like that. I have to do it the other way, Michelle. Sorry about this. There we go. No, that won't do it. Let's just open this. And went to conference. There we are. Oh, isn't this fun? Anyway, yeah, so... What you're talking about, Michelle, is exactly...
So I'll start, like, yep.
Well, but what you're talking about is exactly like a self-referential version of what I've been what I was talking about earlier. So, and it's this is exactly the process, what I call the process, which is you focus on the feeling, and then it's a wormhole. Because it's the same feeling every time.
Yeah.
And the feeling is a conversation between your soul and you, your conscious mind, that this is a trauma that you've suffered.
Mm-hmm.
And like you say, you know, it got you through, that takes you through all the way back to the first time it ever happened. And, you know, usually for women it's their father, and for men it's their mother. Something happens, and the father disappoints, and the mother betrays, or something. You know, someone stuff like that. It's archetypal. Everybody goes through it. You know, it's the same.
Yeah, absolutely.
And people think, everybody thinks that they're alone in their feeling that this has happened to them, and it's not true, because we have social mores that say, "Oh, you must love your mother and father." And because your mother and father love you. But when you find out that you're the victim, or the attempted victim of three abortions, you know, or three abortion attempts, obviously not abortion, but three abortion attempts, then you're not talking about a feeling of feeling entirely safe in the womb, even.
That's right. Yeah.
So you're not paranoid. You know, people,
the thing is
that as a baby, you're not this dumb thing that is just a blank slate. as, and this is what we're told is the reality. Mm. But when you actually get back to remembering what it's like to be a baby and to be a child, you are everything. You feel everything, you see everything, and nothing is painless. Quite the opposite. That's why children, that's why babies cry all the time, because this world is just so awful and painful and, you know, an unpleasant place to be in. You know, there's all these sounds, jagged sounds, constant hums and all of this stuff. You know, I hear Janice Barcelo talk about this stuff, and it's often very difficult to hear because, you know, it's so true. And there's such a it's such an emotional content, you know. It's like we are living in the pit of hell, and it's awful.
Well,
and
yeah,
nobody's allowed to say that. It's like, can I mean?
Well, I don't feel that way myself, but but what I was going to say was. One thing that I started to understand about myself was that I was responding to the world as if everything was a threat to my safety and my life. And not everything, but the things that were salient for me based on my childhood. And I realized I was responding from that child, the person who did see X, Y, Z as threatening, you know. When I was in a relationship with someone, if I felt that situation I was in reflected that XYZ situation, then I would respond as if I was that child thinking that I was unsafe and then my world was going to end and I would cease to survive. I think that's, you know, it goes that far. And once I started to sort of understand that, it's kind of like the adult or the person now or the, you know, that part of you who's living in the now can start to comfort and reassure and have compassion for that child and basically say to them, it's okay, I can take over now. But I think, again, like you say, it's a journey. You know, you've really got to... Yeah, like I said, I think it's really about going in. You really do need to go internal. We do need to heal ourselves before we can make changes and manifest changes in the here and now. It just seems to be that's kind of seems to be a natural law. I don't know.
It feels like we've all gone up a turn of the spiral. Those who are students are now teachers. Those who are teachers are now professors.
Mm.
And, like, everybody's got a promotion.
yeah.
on the kind of spiritual level, we've been given a whole bunch more powers or talents or gifts or curses, depending on how you're experiencing them. We're also given a little more responsibility. We might get a few more listeners, for instance. Those listeners are here to, you know, pass on what you've been giving to their people. Everybody's got their networks and it just goes out. That's the whole process as well. You know, the process is, I express this, I've experienced these things, I've gained clarity from this. Here's some of the clarity that I've gained. Once you see this clarity that I've gained, you think, oh, I'd like some of that clarity. Maybe I could do some of the things that, or just allow, because it's happening to me already. It's actually happening.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, there are people who are listening to this particular broadcast and think, this is happening to me as well. And what I've got to say to everybody, you are not alone. There are hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, all experiencing the same symptoms, the same experiences, and go with it, right? So, if you don't want to eat, don't force yourself. Don't force anything. I think that's really the thing. Don't force anything. I've discovered that sometimes things are something, you know, right? When it's appropriate for me to open a jar of olives, I will therefore have the strength to open a jar of olives. If I do not require olives at the time, I will not be able to open the jar. And as soon as I try it twice, I think, okay, that's the universe saying something to me. I'm learning to listen to those cues as well. How malleable is the universe? It's different levels of malleable at different times. You know, sometimes you can push into it and it's like a soft sponge, and sometimes it's like a molasses, and sometimes it's like a brick wall.
Yeah.
So we're going through different areas of space where this stuff is different, and I think we were talking for a couple of years. Tracy Kennedy and I were talking about the wave. Now, I don't know if you were familiar with this, but it's the galactic wave.
No, I'm not familiar.
Mm-mm. Not familiar. Okay, so we've got a solar system here, right? And nominally, there's a sun in the middle of a disk. It's like Saturn. It's more like a comet, actually, that we're being schlepped behind the sun. Anyway, so the galaxy is comprised of millions and millions of little spirals of star systems spiraling around each other. This vast, sparkling, spinning thing. And every so often, a pulse of energy runs from the center to the out, to the rim. And on our time scale, these are happening at 65 million year intervals. And the last one happened 65 million years ago.
Right.
So what it is a burst of consciousness from the center of the galaxy. And what is the galaxy? The galaxy is what we call, for want of a better word, God. The consciousness of the galaxy is the consciousness of God. The galaxy is everything that contains what we are. We're made of material from the galaxy. We're made of the stardust from the galaxy. Stars emit bacteria. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. I knew we were made from the same material as stars, but I didn't know about the stars emitting bacteria.
Yeah, space dust emits. Space dust is freeze-dried bacteria. So this idea, there's a thing called panspermia. It's like, it's really like, you can't not have life anywhere. It's like the universe is life. It's the opposite of this kind of dry, sterile, deep vacuum out of space like a freezer. No, it's not dead like that. It's completely alive. And the sun is spiraling through the galaxy. I believe this whole precession of the equinoxes is due to the tilting of the solar system as it passes in an orbit around whatever the sun is circulating around or following. Anyway, I have my own ideas about things. As you may have guessed.
Well, the thing that sometimes what strikes me, though, I'm actually quite interested in stargazing, and where I live, it's a really beautiful spot for that. So, but what's interesting to me sometimes is that I can get actually quite confused and overwhelmed by a lot of theories and information and things like that out there. And I don't know how other people experience this, but for me, in the end, I just needed to sort of pull myself back from all of that and let information come to me as needed and take it in as needed, meaning that just, you know, feel the truth in it first before I take it on board. Otherwise, I started to get this very overwhelming sensation of just raining on information, raining down on me, which was, I found, quite crippling. It sort of kept me, you know, that fight, flight, or people go into that, don't do anything at all. They become paralyzed. And I found that I became paralyzed because I didn't know which way to move. Because it's just so, every time you make a movement, there's someone there to say, oh yeah, but you got to think about this and this and this and this and this. And that's, you know, really when I started to make that decision to just really follow my own internal compass on everything. And even if I was wrong, it didn't matter. It was, you know, it still is my own internal compass and it's leading me where I need to go, even if it's quote unquote the wrong way or a mistake or, you know, whatever it might be.
It's your journey.
Yeah, exactly.
It's your journey. And if you want to go out and get smashed and have a hangover because you want to remember how that feels, then that's fine. Doesn't mean that you know, you're back on the wagon, you know. Doesn't mean
exactly that,
you know, you're turning into an awful drug addict or alcoholic. No. You just want to, you're experiencing an experience. It's an experience. And we're here to experience, are we not?
Oh, well, absolutely. Absolutely. We're here to live, aren't we? And not be so concerned about the not living part. We're here to live. Yeah, well, we're here.
Yeah, and to do what you do. You know, whatever you do, whatever you like to do, it would be better to do what you love doing. That means it's a score against negativity, twice a score against negativity. Number one, there's one less person being negative, and two, there's one more person being positive. So it's a double. It's a twofer.
And it's compounding. So, you know, I see it as a compounding process in that the more you do things like that, the more the better things become, and the better things become, the more you do things like that, and you tend to then, like you were saying before, you tend to kind of impact the world around you, even if it's one or two people or just your cat or your dog, but that then impacts, it's like that ripple. And for me, that's a much better world to live in. A much better universe to live in is one that's like that for me. So, you know, I think we all choose the universe we live in or the world we live in, and that's my world. And I can't, I've got to go with that because that's what's inside of me.
So how have you been experiencing this last few days? Like when I was saying, I couldn't eat. And I didn't sleep. You know, I was awake for one time for like 30 hours, longer than a day, longer than a whole 24-hour period. And I didn't want to eat, and yet I was still carrying on, and everything was kind of normal. I think I had a bit of a pressure in my head.
Yeah, I've got a pressure in my head too at the moment, yeah.
So did you experience the same thing over the last few days?
I've sort of been experiencing it for probably the last couple of weeks, and the last few days, what I would say is that I get sort of shot with tiredness. Like I'll be absolutely, and all of a sudden I'll just completely feel tired, and my whole body just needs to lie down, even if it's for half an hour, just to close my eyes, and then I'm okay again. And then I've had like jolts of energy as well. And in terms of food, I'm right into, at the moment, corn. I just boil up corn and eat corn for lunch. Just really sort of simple. I'm just eating what I need to eat. Just exactly how you described it. And there's one more thing that I've noticed is here in Australia, we're in summer. We've just started summer. And where I live in the mountains, it's quite nice because it's in a very natural surrounding and there's lots and lots of bugs. And what I've noticed is that my focus has been really quickly drawn in. Whereas in the past I might have just swatted away a bug or whatever, now I gently pick it up and then all of a sudden I'm focused on, oh, I didn't notice that there was a... you know, it might be a little antenna or something that I had never seen on that bug before or something like that. And I have a genuine fascination with that kind of detail, which that's sort of, I've always been interested, but it seems to be an uncontrollable urge that I'm just become attuned to, you know, looking at this detail, very minor detail or fine detail in my environment and just and being appreciative of it. But it's not a forced thing. It's just happening quite naturally. You know, I might be driving past something in the car and see a flower I've never seen before and be genuinely, I'll slow down and I'll genuinely be interested in what it's doing and what it looks like and, you know, what it's all about. So that's been another thing I've noticed too. And that's just happened really in the last week or so.
Sounds like a past life talent as a botany.
The flora and fauna.
Yeah. Well, there's probably a few gaps now in the market.
Yeah,
I'm have you sure ever you, have is. You ever done YouTube? So you could maybe do a YouTube video, see how it goes.
Yeah, maybe. I've just actually started a website. I think I sent you the link earlier, which is essentially just my. I'm just starting it as a thing to do. I just feel the need to write things down. So, I've just started doing that, and I'll just see how that. I'm not going to push it to go any particular way, but I just want to see how that kind of. Plays out and so you know if people want to have a look at that and just give me some feedback or contribute or whatever. But yeah, maybe I might move into YouTube or yeah, we'll see how things go, but I'm just sort of doing it as a self expression mechanism as opposed to having a you know, rigid guidelines around where exactly I want it to go or turning it into a business or anything like that.
Well, you know, people say follow your bliss. I say follow your love. What do you love doing? Yeah. What turns you into a 5-year-old? What gives you the
burps joy? Burps and farts.
Burps and farts, yeah. Totally. But, you know, if you can get to something that gives you the joy of curiosity that you have when you're 5.
Yeah,
you know, that's
yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And then get paid for it, and then get people saying, "Wow, thank you, that was something that I really needed to see because it woke something up in me that I'd remembered when I was small, as well."
Yeah,
and so it's catching.
Well, I feel like I'm still kind of. Feeling my way through things at the moment, but yeah, I definitely feel that I've just been woken up after, you know, 40 years of my life. You know, I feel like I'm coming back home to myself again and becoming whole again. So, and that's exciting to me. I'm so excited about the future. I've made some decisions about what I'm going to do. I've decided to really let go of a lot of things and it feels really, it feels fantastic, and I just can't wait to get stuck into it. So, and this is just the beginning for me, you know, the website is the beginning. It's kind of like, a bit like coming out. I kind of feel like it's my first step to
you,
really
you,
come
you
out.
You didn't do it on Thanksgiving, did you?
No. You know, I imagine this is what, you know, some people who do have to come out as being gay might feel like, is that, you know, I'm really letting myself, the inside of myself, come out and be and just be out there in its truest expression. So, and that's, you know, letting myself vulnerable and all those things. So, yeah, I'm you know, I'm quite excited about that too.
So this is a fascinating time, don't you think? This is the time that we were told that was going to happen, and now it's actually happening. Yeah. And it's not like a fake thing. You know this thing people are talking about, Alex Collier. Do you know Alex Collier?
Yeah, vague. I know the name.
Anyway, he said that as of last Tuesday, the third dimension would implode. And he said that in 1994.
Oh, okay. Right.
And this stuff has been happening since then. So maybe he's right. Maybe what we thought as real, which was the false matrix, which we've been told all about for years and years and years. You're living in an illusion. You're living in a false matrix. That is starting to fall away, and our detectors are coming back on again, which is our bullshit detector.
Yeah.
I think I can say bullshit. Can I say bullshit?
Tell me. Yeah, we Aussies, that's how we say it.
Yeah.
The bullshit detector.
I think we've said it enough. But anyway, but we're able to discern. This is the stomach thing, right? We're going to find we're probably going to eat less. You know, all this stuff about, you know, food storage and, you know, you've got to make sure you've got loads of food and loads of this and loads of this.
Yeah.
And an ironic part of me has been thinking, hang on, what happens if during the shift we suddenly decide we don't need food anymore? We can just live off the light that is glowing inside of us. Like, we've got an everlasting battery inside of us. We don't need all this really food storage. We're just burdened by it all, you know.
Yeah. And also, I also wonder about, you know, this sort of stockpiling of stuff is, I mean, I just find it curious because I just wonder, we're all sort of going into our own corners. It's sort of, to me, it's like people just going into their own corners, you know, and barricading themselves away from each other. But for me, if there was ever an event or, look, I can only speak from my perspective here in Australia. I kind of see it a little bit differently in that I kind of feel like it's a communal thing that we need to be going for and, a reconnecting with each other as opposed to the stockpiling of things. As it's more about, creating those fundamentals that really, that will underlie our community. If things do go wrong, to me, that's what's going to help us survive and thrive, more so than the goods and services and the guns and the, you know, that's just my feeling.
Well, you know, we've got potential, you know, collapses going on. It seems that the world financial system is only days, weeks, moments from it's completely overextended. It's like that. It's like the cartoon coyote who's run off the edge of the cliff, who hasn't quite yet looked down to realize he's not on the ground.
That's right.
You know,
well, it's only like when you're having a baby, it's inevitable.
Yeah,
you can't stop it. Yeah,
and again, it's like, you know, as soon as you fall off your bike and you're wandering around, you're hobbling about a bit, and then you eventually look down and you see that, you know, the bone in your leg is sticking out through the front of your shin.
And then you feel the pain.
Around the circle, and then you feel the pain.
Yes.
It's about our consciousness catching up with reality.
Yeah.
Those people who have less investment in the matrix will see it before those who have more investment in the matrix. It's like there are fewer layers for it to get through. And using this process that we've been both talking about tonight, of going back through the feeling, then you will be able to peel off more and more of those layers until you finally get to the point of being able to be in the moment, in the here and now, in reality. And that, brothers and sisters, is more rare than you might think. Of people who are really in true reality, in absolute synchronicity and synchronization with the creation of our universe. Because when you get to that point, you realize that it's those layers that have been creating our reality for us. You know, we say we create our reality. Well, on one level, it's true, but it's most of the time, it's the programs that are running in our minds, in our emotional bodies, that are creating the realities for us. And these have been pre-programmed, and this is the thing that they call the matrix. And so some of the programs are, you've got to trade with money. Some of the programs are you have to follow the rules. Some of the programs are you have to pay money into the tax and all this stuff, and it's BS.
That you're a sinner, that there's something absolutely wrong with you, that there's, you know, purely because you're a human, woman, man, whatever, that you're, you know, that you're this way and this way.
Yeah, it's your
all
born
those
into
things.
Sin.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And, you know, by telling somebody that you're born into sin, it divides you, because half of you says, that's rubbish, and the other half says, oh, they must be right.
Yeah.
And the part of them that says they must be right, that's the part of us that we need to, like, slowly shake and convince.
Yeah.
Hang on a second. I'm you. Not that guy out there. I'm you. I'm who you really are. And you have to listen. It really would help, but I can't do anything about it if you decide to look outside. You have to decide to talk to me. As your higher self. And again, that's rare, but getting less rare, because we're all going to be brought up to the same level of consciousness. Now, those layers are going to be stripped away. I can feel them dissolving day by day. You can too. And you will discover
that. Go ahead. And that's why I feel so good about now, and you know, I have a very strong feeling about the future, and I'm not saying, you know, that people won't die and things won't go wrong, and I'm not saying that there's a future without that, but I just, you know, I just feel that we're heading into, like you say, something very positive and very different to the matrix that we have all been plugged into up to this point. And to me, that's so exciting. I feel full from that. What you were saying before, I'm full, but I haven't eaten anything. I feel really satiated and full. So I'm not feeling this sort of, this hunger that I've felt for most of my life for everything, really. I feel full and very full of trust and love. I can't explain it, and it's very exciting. I'm feeling very happy about it. So, you know, life isn't always easy, but it's still fantastic. It's really good. So, yeah, I just feel very, very positive about the future.
Oh, yeah, I feel very positive about the future. It's the present I'm worried about.
Well, to me, the future is like the next moment, tomorrow, you know, the next hour. So it's all good.
Yeah, I get it. I do get it. It's, but, you know, I have to live in the world that I live in, and part of the world that I live in is that world of transformation in which what was apparently a dark thing is being transformed into a light thing. You know, things that were problems become the vector towards solution.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's really, you know, this is, again, I call it the process. This thing of our soul gives us opportunities for healing. Some people call these relationships. Some other people call them a battle zone of egos.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. It's relationships, isn't it?
And if you've got stuff, then anybody who's in your face is going to mirror it.
Mm.
Because that's what we do. We mirror things for people. And we actually, it's actually healing.
Mm.
And it's only when people take things personally, basically take things personally, that they get offended. You know?
Yeah.
You know, people get offended because things are taken personally. If people didn't take things personally, there wouldn't be offense. You know? Just think about that. What is offense?
Well, it's much thinner than a wall, but it's still... Sorry.
Well, it's just, no, you're right. It's a fine barrier. It's fine. It's delicate. You know, you could, you know, if you had a... even if you were running fast enough, you could crash through a fence. You know?
Yeah.
It's a membrane, almost. In fact, it's only a barrier to the mind.
Hmm.
It's only representing a wall. It's not a wall. It's like, this is not a pipe. Yeah. This is not a wall. Wow, that's a bit high.
To me, if I am offended by something, to like you say, to me that's, you know, I think that sometimes people can do things, not to make you feel a certain way, but they can do things which in their own right, they're not great things to do, and you can recognize it for being violent or destructive or whatever you want to call it. But sometimes people do things and it's your interpretation of that based on your own stuff that's having a problem with that. And what I'm trying to say is that, you know, once you start sort of going with your feeling, you can discern that much better, because you know when it's real, when something is really not right, or when something is really just you. It's your being triggered, or it's your pain or your stuff, but it's not actually in reality what the situation is. And I just wanted to make that point. So that fence that you were talking about is that one that you put up yourself. But sometimes people, you do need to express your dissatisfaction, disappointment, your anger, whatever it might be, and you'll feel when it's right to do that. You know, sometimes the other person needs to hear that, or the group of people, or the organization, or whatever it might be. They need to feel and hear that anger. But if it's coming from the right place, it will be taken on board. But if it's not, and it's just your crap, then, you know, people, like you said, if it's not genuine, people won't hear it, won't listen to it.
That's right. I mean, and more and more, I think, more and more people are going to have this literal gut reaction and literally vote with their feet. You know, they'll just walk away. I think people really very soon, more and more people are going to know the truth. You know, if 20% of the population knew the truth about banks, the banks would be closed on Tuesday. Really? You know, if that number of, a very small number of people could kill the banks. That's all we need to do, and the banks roll everything.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. But what I see is that people are still clinging on. They're clinging on to sort of fighting, not fighting is not the right word, but it is kind of the right word, dealing with things that they don't like or they want to be changed by still playing the game, the same game, using the same tools that you know, what they're actually trying to change. And it doesn't sort of work. So, you know, sometimes I think if you gave a person who was complaining about something exactly what they wanted, in a way they might not take it up, because it's then they've given up... then they'll actually have to let go of the whole thing. And I think some people are still quite afraid to do that, because they can't see any other option. They can't see any other viable way out. They can't imagine that things could be different they could be different. And so, and I think that's a lot to do with the fear. So even if you said, well, we could shut the banks down tomorrow, I think genuinely, I honestly think that most people will go into, but how am I going to pay for X, Y, what am I, you know, what about this, and how am I going to, you know, and I think that's what happens. So without banks, what do? How do we cope with that?
We go to Revolution Radio and listen to JP's programs, who have been speaking about alternative currencies for the last 3 years. That's what we do. This is why we're here.
Yeah, right.
Because there will be, and there will be a need for people to explain stuff, because there's going to be no TV that will say, all right, well, children, this is what's happened.
Exactly.
And we're very sorry that we've actually been ripping you off for a couple of thousand years, and actually you're going to overrun us, so we're going to hide away until you've all been roasted by these solar flares that we think are coming. But the thing is, here's the big thing. The people who have been engaging in what you might call a spiritual practice, those people have been taking drugs for years, prescription and otherwise. Those people who are taking, you know, who took too much LSD in the 60s, those people who are screaming and shouting about aliens and reptilians and all of this stuff is going to become, it's like that city that was on the in the water line, and the beach has suddenly the water suddenly washed away and come away, revealing a whole city that was under the water previously. And I think this is what we're going to be seeing, this on a psychic level and on a societal level, that we're going to see the actual structure, we're going to see the dark crawly worms that are kind of creeping around in the basement. We've already seen one or two pedophile scandals coming up, and this is what it's about. This is the whole thing coming into the light. The great revelation, the apocalypse, the uncovering.
Yeah, that's right. And certainly here in Australia, the whole thing with the pedophilia in the church has really just been blown wide open, to the point where really they're saying now, they've just recently passed something in our government where the churches actually are no longer able to investigate themselves, that the whole thing is being taken out of their hands, because it's just such an insidious kind of phenomenon. You know, it's kind of like this slow sinking in, I think, into people about how serious this actually has been and what are the implications. It's just slowly sinking in. So I completely agree with what you're saying, 100%, yeah.
So, we're at the point, we're at that denouement, we're at the point when things start to turn inside out, flip around, upside down, where things that appeared to be good will now be seen as to be bad, and things that maybe were seen to be bad, people who are supposed terrorists will turn out to be truly freedom fighters, you know, that sort of thing that is going to start happening. But we still have the problem of the cabal, and they're still up to their tricks, even up to the last minute. But I've just got faith. I've just got faith that this is going to happen, that their people are going to see through it, because it's starting to happen for me. Now, I know that I've been deprogramming myself for a long time, but if it started to happen for me, then at least I know, like 10 years down the line, other people are going to be into it, because I know that I've been 10 years ahead of time in terms of my creativity, 10 years ahead of time in the music, certainly. And so it's a very exciting time that we live in. Michelle, how do you pronounce the surname?
Oh, you pronounced it beautifully, actually. I was quite stunned when I heard you say it. Most people can't pronounce it. Can you pronounce it again for me?
Herlich.
Beautiful. Perfect. No need to correct you.
Excellent. All right, there we go. Michelle Hillick. And what's your website?
It's called, let me just have a look, www.thequietrevolution1.com.
Okay, and you want to pop that into the chat room again? I'll pop that into the
Voice
Spirit as well. And there we go. Thank you very much,
okay.
Michelle.
Thanks for having me. It's been great to talk to you.
It's been lovely to talk to you. Thank you very much for coming on.
You're welcome.
This has been Journeys. I'll see you on Sunday with Ever Beyond, and next Monday on the next leg of the journey. Yeah.